Thank you for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. That's strength4thejourney.com. This radio program is number 37. If you're listening by shortwave radio and you'd like to re-listen to it on the website, there is a number of articles that have been posted on the website as well that I think you'll enjoy. Also, there is a button there called Today's Rhema, and I recently had another word early in the morning that I just posted, and we'll be talking a little bit about that word tonight and how it applies to our life right now. Also, there's an update on the missions page. We are going to be conducting another crusade at the end of November with Janet and Ray Clark of Third Day Power. And we are right now in the process of about to order 100,000 chick tracks. We are still raising a little bit more money. We have about $4,500 toward those 100,000 tracks, and we're looking to raise a total of $8,000. So we're still raising another $3,500. Also, if you feel like donating, there's a button there on the PayPal button on the website. You can donate there if you'd like to contribute toward those tracks or toward the crusade that's coming up in November. We're actually having a lot of fun. We've already distributed about 30,000 tracks of 35,000 that were sent down here just recently. And just last night, we went down on the streets of David, Panama, and went to a pretty rough area where there's a lot of drug addicts and prostitutes, and the place is not a real safe place to go, but we took some young men and ladies down there to go witness to the people down there. And a number of people gave their hearts to the Lord. We passed out quite a few tracts. And it's just really fun to be out there on the streets and out there ministering to people. We had one young man that had got involved with a gang when he was about a 15-year-old boy. His whole life seemed to have gone downhill, or it actually did go downhill from that point. He became almost like a hitman in that gang, and before he almost looked like, when he walked up to us, I thought he was going to start a fight, but after the young men ministered to him and spoke with him about Jesus Christ, he accepted Jesus in his heart, and he was crying and hugging the crew there. It was amazing to see how the Lord worked in his heart in such a short time. But there's so many people out there right now that are hurting, and they need to hear a message of hope, or what Jesus can do for them. So this is, I just want to encourage you as well, if you want to take a group of people and go out there and just share the love of God out there, because there's a lost and dying world that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. The crusade that we're going to have will be from November 20th through December 10th. And so we're real excited about all the openings, the doors that are opening up to go speak in colleges and high schools and prisons. We're going to be doing some outdoor crusade work as well, because I want to go out where the people are, just like we did last night. You know, you're not going to find these people in a church building. You have to go where they are. Jesus said to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come. And this is what he wants us to do now, is to go out there and reach those people that aren't going to set foot within the four walls of a church. The other morning I woke up, and as many times it happens, and I began to write a word. I've been feeling like a time of testing is coming, and it's almost like, it's like what we are on the inside is like the ingredients of something that's going to be baked. And whatever those ingredients are, when it goes into the oven, is what will harden inside that container. And what I've been feeling in my spirit is that God is calling us right now to examine ourselves and to really see what is on the inside of us. this is kind of two words that are kind of put together here, but it began, times are coming that will test the souls of men. Demons will be unleashed like never before. If you haven't strengthened what remains before the unleashing, you certainly will be carried away with temptation. The soul that sinneth, it will die. That means the Christian soul that sinneth, it shall die as well. Christians aren't a special class of soul who gets away with sinning. The blood of Jesus isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. God's word is God's word. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Revelations 21:5-8 says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for those things are true and faithful. And he said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of which burns with fire and brimstone, stone, which is the second death. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you will do all you can to save it. Only by giving up your life for him will you save it. It's time to do a home inspection. Have you really given him your life, or do you just think you have? Are you truly a follower of him, or are you merely a follower in word, but not in deed? If Jesus owns your life because you have willingly given him your life, then he not only owns your life, but all that you own. If he can't direct your possessions at his will, then does he really own you? If we won't give up our possessions that will perish, then have we really given him our heart and soul that won't perish? If he is our security and our future, why does our stuff provide such security? Do we own our stuff, or does our stuff own us? Is our heart and soul the steward of our stuff, or is our stuff the steward of our heart and soul? Does the eternal steward the temporal, or does the temporal steward the eternal? It's time for a home inspection. It's time to inspect the foundation to see if the home will stand during the time of testing, when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Any foundation not founded upon the rock will be washed away when the storms arrive. The clouds are on the horizon and amassing daily, soon to be released. If your heart is attached to the world and the things of this world, you will be washed away with the torrent. Prepare, so little time to prepare. Many a heart will fail them because of fear. They have refused to heed my warnings, and will be washed away when the storm arrives, for they did not prepare themselves in the day of my visitation. Great will be their fall, tragically never to be rebuilt. Only a ruinous heap will remain, and their torment will be incomprehensible. But the righteous will arise, and my glory will rest upon them. And that's the word that I received the other morning. And it just keeps coming back to me that the time of testing is coming, and many a heart is going to be sifted. And whether or not you have separated yourself from the sin in your life, or whether the sin in your life will separate you from him, this is the choice that all of us have to make right now, is how badly do we want him, because no sin will stand in his presence. That it's all going to be tested by fire. Everything's going to be tested by fire. And we have to separate ourselves, because the fire is coming. The testing is coming. And you can see it all around the world right now. Things are getting in such a way that you can, I mean, if you look over in the Middle East right now, in Iraq and Syria, and there's numerous Christians that are being beheaded. Their time, and many times, you know, people have thought that this kind of stuff isn't going to happen until after the tribulation. And I think we need to get ourselves in such a place of preparation that it doesn't matter if Jesus comes before the tribulation or after, that we will not deny him no matter what the cost. And this is the importance of giving Him our whole life right now, because if we haven't done that now, then when the time of testing comes, that we will fail. And if you look back what happened in Peter's life, Peter thought he'd given Him everything. But when the time of testing came, he didn't pass the test because he was trying to save his life at the time of testing. And this is the importance right now of all of us really examining ourselves and saying, if this were me, if I was being challenged right now, whether I was going to deny my Lord or I was going to try to keep my head, what would I do? This may be a very real reality in the future, that our faith is going to be tested, and whether or not we really believe, whether we really have given Him our whole life, or is something still holding us back? Is there something in us that is still alive that we will not give up? And so I want to play a song here in just a moment. It's a song by Sojourn Music. It's called All I Have Is Yours.
Creator, giver of all things, all I have is yours. Accept my humble offering. To die, you paid my debt and bought my life. All I have is yours. All I have. All I have. All I have is
the Lord, all I have is yours. You know, this word that I got, it's very interesting what it was. It says, does the eternal steward the temporal, or does the temporal steward the eternal? Does our stuff own us, or do we own our stuff? Is our heart and soul the steward of our stuff, or is our stuff the steward of our heart and soul? It's very important to understand that God is kind of trying to deliver us from the world and the things of this world. And the honest truth is that we have a very difficult time letting go of stuff and the things of this world, that we don't realize what a grip it has on us until we're called to give it up. You know, Jesus, when he gave the disciples or anybody following him, it says in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, it says, "There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them," it's almost like he would kind of thin the herd. You know, I got a lot of people following me, but let's see who's really following me. Let's see who really wants to follow me where I want to go, where I want to take him. And he said, "If any man comes to me," and it says here in the King James says, "hate not," but it means to love less, "his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." So if we come to him and there's anybody in our life that we love more than him, it disqualifies us from being his disciple. And he says, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple." And if you think about what is it saying when it says, "whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me," if you're carrying a cross on your back, you're literally going to your death. That is what the cross represented, that the cross represented your death. And that death is our death to ourself. So in other words, if we do not die to ourself, if we do not deny yourself, it disqualifies us from being his disciples. He said, "He cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest, happily after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else why, while the other is a great way off, he sends an embassage and desires conditions of peace? So likewise, whosoever of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." So these are three very disturbing criteria of being a disciple and following Jesus. So many people want to say that I'm a follower of Jesus, but have they really, really laid this stuff down and really followed the guidelines and followed the restrictions? The Bible says that we have to go through the straight gate to get into the kingdom. The straight means it's narrow because of obstacles. There's obstacles that are standing in our way that are intending to keep us out of the kingdom. And those obstacles many times are our own obedience to God or our disobedience. It's not willing to give up. I talked about last week about the monkey that is captured by putting a coconut with a hole in it on a tree. And they put some sort of food inside there that the monkey likes. And the monkey will actually put his hand in that coconut, and then it will not let go when it has a hold of that stuff. And their captors come and either throw a net over it, they club the monkey over the head, or whatever they want to do, but the monkey's vulnerable because he won't let go. And this is really what I think Jesus is trying to say, is that if we will not let go of our stuff, then the captors will come get us too. And this is why we have to let go. I was reading recently in Acts chapter 2, and a great revival had begun. Paul was preaching, and the people that heard it, it says, "Now when they all heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.' And with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And this is something that is absolutely missing right now in the body of Christ right now. There is absolutely no fear. They think they are so secure, and they've lived in a comfort zone for so long that there is no fear. And this is a godly fear and a reverence and a respect and who God is, a holy God that we will stand before one day. And when you realize that no sin will stand in his presence, that a fear will come upon us to say, you know what, I need to do something about this stuff in my life that shouldn't be here. But one of the things that holds many people back is their desire for things, for the possessions, and for the things of this world. It really has a grip on their heart. And it says, And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, every man that had need. And what has been really jumping out at me lately is just the fact that their stuff was just stuff. It's just that. And I didn't realize, you know, how much stuff can have a power over you until we moved to Panama, and all I literally could take was suitcases. And so all the stuff that I had saved from my childhood was like, what am I going to do with this? I can't stick all this stuff in a suitcase. And I just let it go, and my family let it go. And it was one of the most liberating experiences I've ever had, was just letting go of the stuff. It didn't matter anymore. And every time we had a garage sale, we would try to remember what was sold. And we'd think, well, I don't remember. I think maybe this thing went, but we'd look around and go, well, I'm not missing it. And this is the way it went on for 8 weeks between yard sales and auctions until there was literally what we had in our suitcases was left. And I realized that God was qualifying me to be his disciple. Was I willing to let this stuff go if he said, let it go? And when I asked him about taking a container, he told me suitcases. So I knew this was a stripping process that he was doing. And I've mentioned this on another program, but it reminds me of a friend of mine who had a landscaping business. And in this landscaping business, he could do just about anything. He had techniques of transplanting things and that they would live. And I didn't understand how he did a lot of things until I went to his house one day. And one day I'd gone there and his tree, a big magnolia tree that was in the front yard, was no longer there. And it was probably a 20-foot tall tree. And I went to the backyard because we were doing some barbecuing. And there's a big magnolia tree suddenly in his backyard that wasn't there before. And I asked him, I said, where'd that tree come from? I said, I noticed there's one missing in the front yard, and now there's one here. He said, oh, that's the same tree. And I go, wait a minute, there's no way. He said, how did you transplant such a giant tree? And he said, well, it really wasn't that difficult. I just dug a root ball around it, and then I laid it over on its side, and I stripped all the leaves off of it. And I said, and then he said he dug a hole and stuck it in the ground and watered it, and there it is alive now. And I said, well, wait, stop right there. I said, you stripped all the leaves off it. I said, didn't that kill the tree? And he said, no, actually just the opposite. It saved the tree. So his stripping of the leaves was what actually saved the tree from dying. And what I see in that analogy is that God really wants to strip us of everything that is going to draw the nutrients out of our life. When he wants to transplant us unto his kingdom and do his work, we have so much of our heart attached to our things that if he was to transplant us, we would have such a, all of our nutrients, so to speak, would go into our stuff and not the purpose that God has for us. And this is one thing that really has happened to all of us in my family is that he has replaced everything that we gave up. He's replaced my children's friends, just things that we thought, well, we're leaving all this stuff. Well, no, not really. He says that if whatever you give up, that that you'll receive 30, 60, 100-fold, not only in this life but the life to come, that there is a reward when you're willing to give up something, that God's going to give you more if you're willing to give it up. And so it's something that can be fearful to go through the process, but when after you go through it, it's actually very liberating, and there's great deliverance that takes place. And so I know that God is trying to prepare our hearts right now for the things that are coming, and he wants us to look unto him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that's going to save us. It's not going to be our stuff. I spent many years trying to prepare for the coming hard times that are coming, and I was the ultimate Y2K preparer. I taught classes on Y2K preparation, and I thought, you know, I was ready for the worst case scenario, and I felt like the Holy Spirit kept saying, you can't prepare for what's coming. But I just kind of figured, well, that means maybe he said I can't prepare enough, and I added a word into this into this word. I just didn't want to believe I couldn't prepare for what's coming. And finally, when I finally got a grip of really what God was trying to say to me, he said that when I was actually packing things up, he said, you spent 13 years of your life trying to save your life. Now I want you to lose your life for me. And that's what it really is all about, is he wants us to lose our life for him. He wants us to just bury yourself in the ground of this world and just say, God, I give you all of my life, all my stuff, everything that I have is yours. Because if he doesn't have our stuff, if he can't direct his will with what we have, then really does he really own us? So I think this is a challenging word for all of us right now, is to really examine and do some house cleaning, do some house inspection, home inspection. Let God go into the very foundation of our lives and really see what really is at the foundation of our heart. Where is our heart really attached? Is it to the things of this world or to the Lord? Because I feel like if we don't give it up, it will be taken away from us. And so God wants us to willingly give it up and let him have it and let him do what he wants to do in our life. So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. For the